looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
Hey, it's not Thursday, and it's not 7 o'clock, but it is Wednesday night. Close enough, right?
Yes.
So we are coming to you a night early tonight. We've got a prior engagement for tomorrow night, so surprise, here we are. And man, what a different kind of week we're having this week.
It's never really different. It's just more of the same craziness.
More of the same crazy, different day?
Yes.
Different day, same stuff, different day. That's the way it always works out, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You got something to start us off over there?
Yes.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
The devotion tonight is called The Blessed. More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's from Luke 11:28. Jesus spoke this in response to a woman saying that his mother was blessed, and she certainly was. However, Mary was merely the human vessel who gave birth to the Savior. Here was the perfect opportunity for Jesus to exalt her as the Virgin Mary, as the Mother of God, and have us all fall at her feet in worship. However, the Bible tells us that Mary was no longer a virgin after she bore Jesus. She had at least 5 other children. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. That's from Mark 6:3. More references to Jesus' siblings are made in Matthew 12:46 and 13:55, John 2:12 and 7:3 and 5 and 10, Acts 1:14, 1 Corinthians 9:5, and Galatians 1:19. When blessing was offered to Mary, Jesus said that those who hear the word of God and keep it were blessed. This is because they are saved through the gospel, and being born again is the way of entry into everlasting life. May the many millions who have a form of godliness but lack the new birth hear the words of Jesus in John 3, obey them, and be blessed. Tonight's soul search is, have I truly been born again? Am I a new creation in Christ? Father, I pray that the unsaved listen to the gospel and obey it.
Amen. So, for a while now, you've been asking me a particular question.
Yes.
And I told you that I was going to have to dig in, and, well, that's what I've done.
Well, good.
And through many different sources and many different contexts and reading many different things, it all leads back to the same thing. So later on tonight, we're going to talk about how the earth was populated, because you wanted to know if it was only Adam and Eve and Adam and Eve had 2 sons, where did everybody come from?
That's what I'm saying.
So Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. And Cain killed Abel and left Eden to live in the east. Where did he get his wife, since Adam and Eve were the first humans on the planet? And with Cain and Abel, there were only a total of 4 people, so you think.
Or 3.
No, I'm going to leave it right there, so you think.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of things that you don't realize that go into that. And that's going to be very interesting to talk about a little bit later on in the show, because, you know, it's going to be one of those wow moments.
Hopefully I'm not the only one who's had this question.
You ready to walk into some news?
Oh, I don't know.
Politics, current events, it's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
Some interesting things in the news this week.
Mm-hmm.
Along with, looks like some of the things with Hunter Biden are getting a little more light shone on them.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be one of the hot topics there.
Hot topics.
Yep. Unfortunately, looks like President Biden's had another little missay faux pas.
Oh goodness, not another one.
Yeah, this one. He says his son, Bo, lost his life in Iraq during the Colorado speech.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, Bo died in 2015 as a result of brain cancer.
Right.
So, yeah.
He's got Peter Jennings-itis.
Yeah. You know, I don't really know the full context of that. This is just another thing. I mean, the speech was made today near Vail, Colorado.
I bet that left a lot of people like, what?
Yeah. Just like several weeks ago, the whole calling out to the
Jackie.
And that's sad, still.
It is very sad. It's very sad that, number one, this is happening to him, because I don't like to see anybody going through early stages of dementia. It's just, it's awful to watch.
Yep.
But I also don't like knowing that the free world, as we know it, is being run by somebody with dementia.
Yeah. And here's something that came from the vice president earlier this week.
Oh, hang on. Let me strap in for this one.
And I find this one kind of left me saying, what?
Like everything else.
Because she went down to Texas now for a Democratic fundraiser, but did not go anywhere near where the border is being impacted.
Uh-huh.
And then turned around and said to the governor of Texas and the governor of Florida that basically those guys should do their job, and it's like a dereliction of duty for them to send people to these other cities, and they need to worry about doing their job and become part of the solution instead of making the problem worse. And I'm like, hello, pot. My name is Kettle. How are you?
She just doesn't like the fact that they've sent them to literally her doorstep.
Is she not the border czar?
Supposedly, but, you know, it's kind of hard to do that when you never go.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis did the right thing and sent them to her doorstep. Like, you want us to take care of them? How about you take care of these people?
Yeah.
This is your deal.
You know, that kind of thing is just kind of like, wow.
You know,
wow.
I honestly, right now, we are kind of on a bit of thin ice with who is in charge of this country. Mm-hmm. It's a little scary because I don't really like our top three choices.
Well, I mean, he turns around and he talks about even the war and saying that, and he comes out and says, you know, Putin is not kidding. You know, he's serious about using, and then uses the word Armageddon, and that just strikes out all, you know, it's like, wow.
These are conversations that someone with dementia does not need to be having.
Yeah. So, you know, very, very interesting things going on there now.
I think you and I could be a better partnership in Washington.
Now, so you know Warnock, right, down in Georgia?
Yes.
So he claims to be a pastor, right?
Yes.
There's some housing or something that is part of the church.
Uh-huh.
And they are actively kicking people out of their homes over literally as little as $28.30.
Do what?
Yeah.
For what?
Like behind on payment of rent.
Oh, good grief.
And they keep talking all this stuff. And meanwhile, Herschel Walker has come out and said, you know what? It was like a total like $4,000 that, you know, they're kicking people out of in various amounts.
Mm-hmm.
And Herschel Walker come out and said, you know what? To keep them people in their homes and for things getting worse for them, he said, I would pay that out of my pocket.
Oh, I love Herschel Walker. I mean, I understand that he's got some trials and tribulations, but everybody does, you know?
Yep.
It's just whether or not, you know, you choose to run a decent campaign about the issues or if you're about muckraking.
Yep. And talk about the shifting tide. You heard about Tulsi Gabbard, right?
Yes.
So she is planning to campaign for GOP Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And she suddenly left the Democratic Party. She pretty much is fed up after kind of getting shunned and stabbed in the back after she was put up as a poster child in 2016.
Sounds like an epiphany to me.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's more of the same kind of stuff going round and round and round and round.
Well, you know, unfortunately, you know, with everything that the American public has been subjected to as far as, you know, reality TV and 24-hour news and, you know, anything that's on the internet and everything, we've all been exposed to a lot of drama. And so I think that when things like this come up, that it's just kind of a desensitization of drama, and people just are not really seeing what it is for what it is.
Oh, definitely. So it's really sad. I mean, there's so many shiny objects hanging up right now, dragging people's attention in so many different ways. And what you got to remember, we're less than 30 days now from midterm elections. And, you know, right now it's almost like it's a vote to save the country almost.
Right. Or just keep on slipping down the rails.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, it is these things that just keep happening and happening, and all the more there are other stories that get buried and suppressed and, you know, all these different things. So be very vigilant about what you read. Don't take things from one source unless it's the Bible. That's the only thing you're going to read is the truth. I mean, news stories, you know, look and dig and see if the stories are on different media outlets, because, I mean, there's a lot of things you're not going to see on mainstream news. It just gets buried. And, you know, they're like, and this is kind of sad, but this is something that I found through Christian news outlets. There's actually a parental warning right now, a lawsuit against Amazon. Two families have lost their teenagers to suicide, and they filed a lawsuit against the e-commerce giant Amazon, accusing the company of selling so-called suicide kits.
What the heck is a suicide kit?
Well, it contains a food preservative that is fatal at high levels of purity. So there is a 16-year-old female from Ohio and a 17-year-old boy from West Virginia. And it said the company assisted in the teen's death by selling them sodium nitrite. And if a person ingests enough of this substance, It can interfere with the body's red blood cells and the ability to transport oxygen, and it's dangerous and it's potentially fatal.
Is it kind of like good grief, I can't think of what it is. You know, when you hook up the hose to the car, carbon monoxide.
No, this is basically called methemoglobinemia. Is the actual term of the poisoning that they get. It, you know, sodium nitrite, Amazon recommends that customers also purchase a small scale to measure the right dose and tagment to prevent vomiting up the liquid. And the Amazon edition of the Peaceful Peel Handbook, which contains a chapter with instructions on how to administer these ingredients together to dye.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, it's basically, they're selling a product that is as deadly as cyanide gas, basically.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's no different from them selling ropes and knives or other implements that can be used. But, I mean, there's no other household use for sodium nitrate.
Well, I was going to ask. I mean, I know I've seen that name on, you know, like processed hams and things like that.
It's basically a very potent preservative, sodium preservative. But in certain doses, it can kill you. Yeah. So, you know, there's a reported 253% increase in self-poisoning with nitrates and a 166% increase in fatalities in 2021 compared to 2018.
That's just crazy. I mean, I can kind of understand why there would be an uptick. Not that I want to encourage suicides or anything like that, but, you know, with COVID being around and everybody being so isolated, well, you know, I can kind of see why somebody would attempt that. But God, what a sad, sad world.
Call if you know of someone who's had it, you know, just as a disclaimer, if anyone has feelings of suicide or in distress, there's a new number. This designated a 3-digit code that is nationwide to call the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, and it's 988.
That's right. And, you know, if you're somebody that is feeling like that, or you know somebody who's feeling like that, if they're not ready to make that call, they can go to the website, they can start a chat, you know, they can call and talk with a counselor, and all of that is just, you know, gratis. It's free. So, I mean, if you are feeling like that, you definitely need to make that call.
Well, it's sad that we have to bring this to light and actually talk about it, because it's a real thing that's happening.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's something that, you know, I haven't heard it on any news. Not even Fox. I haven't heard it anywhere else. So, you know, be mindful, keep in mind, you know, the things that are out there. You know, sometimes kids don't think. I mean, our kids talk all the time about stuff they hear people talking about on TikTok and all this other things. And, I mean, some of the stuff that they tell us is like, what?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some of those challenges and what kids are doing right now. Some of it is laughable, but it doesn't make it a good thing. It's just,
well, we have well informed the boys of, they definitely know right from wrong, and so
yeah, I would definitely say that our boys have been raised right. They're polite, they are respectful, you know, they open doors for people, and that is just something you just don't see much of at all anymore.
No. And, you know, it comes down with respect, like seeing an elderly gentleman or even a lady wearing a hat that says, you know, Vietnam vet or Korean vet, whatever the case may be, you know, thank them. You never know what that little kind gesture can, you know, do for them. Not a jester.
That's totally different.
But what that little kind little gesture can do. But, you know, as these things are going on, keep in mind, you know, very close to the next upcoming election cycle, midterms, you know, everybody's feeling a pinch. Everybody's feeling a crunch. Things are getting astronomically expensive. Gas is going back up. I mean, when mayonnaise, $5 a jar, really?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I mean, it's like
the price of meat is crazy. I mean,
everything.
If you're buying any kind of beef, it is like twice what you used to pay for it. Chicken has gone a few dollars higher. Pork chops, things like that, they're still kind of around the same price. So, you know, a lot of us are going to be eating a lot of pork.
Well, you know, just remember, I mean, if you've, there's a lot of people out there that are doing without right now. And if you can share and, you know, help make something easier on someone else, you know, please don't forget that they're as bad a situation as everybody's feeling, there are people that are still in a worse situation.
Yes. And just a tip right here is if you know people that are struggling to either make rent, keep their electricity on, water, whatever, you can always check in with a one-stop location. It's a workforce development office. Every state has them. Every county has them. And please encourage people to go in there and discuss issues with a counselor, and they can definitely turn people on to some very good resources.
Well, I know in this particular area, I mean, Duke Power has options on their website. They're offering, you know, they have programs that are offering assistance for people who just simply can't afford to pay the whole light bill or whatever the case may be. But a lot of these utilities are, you know, reaching out to other resources, and they're trying to find ways to help people as well. So, you know, don't feel like, you know, there's no other alternative or nowhere else to turn, because definitely, you know, it can really make a difference.
Right. And, you know, if you're somebody who has to take a lot of drugs to keep yourself healthy, and you're looking at a situation where it's food, heat, and, you know, water, or your medications, just remember that there are a lot of drug distributors that will help you keep your costs down. They have coupons, they have programs, and you can always look and see who makes the drug that you take and reach out to them.
Or reach out to your doctor. A lot of times, you know, they may have short-term solutions with samples and things like that to help too. So
for sure. Yeah,
you know, definitely.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to, you know, check all the available resources. I mean, we understand how tight things are getting, and you know, definitely, and I mean, you know, just continue to keep lifting each other up in prayer, and you know, definitely, you know, be kind to each other.
There's always a solution.
Yep. And you know, if you know someone who's experiencing a hard time, I mean, don't forget to just reach out to people, check on people. See, you know, not just your family, but your friends, or maybe somebody you know that's living down the street. There are a lot of, as we said before, there's a lot of widows and widowers, and, you know, they're dealing with a really hard time right now. On top of everything being tighter, you know, they may feel even more isolated than ever. So always remember to reach out, and you never know. Just a simple conversation can completely make someone's day. So you about ready to dig in and learn a little bit?
Yes.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message. All right, so you ready for this?
I'm ready to learn about the family tree.
All right. So you remember at the beginning I said Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel.
Yes.
And Cain killed Abel and left Eden to live in the east. So where did he get his wife, since Adam and Eve were the first humans on the planet? And with Cain and Abel, there were only four people total, right?
That is correct.
So in Genesis 2, the Bible tells how God created man and later created woman on the sixth day of creation. And we all know while they lived in the Garden of Eden, Adam and woman were the only two human beings in the world. Nevertheless, God gave these two people to the command to multiply and fill the earth from Genesis 1:28. So unfortunately, Adam and woman sinned before they could even execute God's plan for reproduction. But nevertheless, the couple, Adam and Eve, follow through on God's plan to build a family, starting with Cain and Abel. And obviously, God's plan from the beginning was that these two people would conceive children. And these children would, in turn, have their own children until the earth was filled with nations of people. God's instruction to Adam and woman begs an obvious question. How did God expect one couple to fill the earth?
I do not know.
So to this question, the Bible offers an equally obvious, if troubling, answer. God intended Adam's children to marry one another and bear children. As we consider this answer, though.
Oh, I'm considering this answer.
Let's review some points of scripture from the Bible. Okay. First, Adam's family included more people than simply Eve, Cain, and Abel. Genesis 5:4 tells us that Adam had many sons and daughters. The firstborn son was Cain, and soon thereafter came Abel. But that doesn't mean other siblings weren't already living at the time that Cain killed Abel. On the contrary, Genesis 4:14 says it indicates that there were other members of Adam's family already living as adults at the time that Cain killed Abel. Cain expressed concern when he learned from God that he must wander the world as his punishment for killing Abel, because he said he feared that others, in reference other members of his family, would find him and take revenge against him, from verse 14. And secondly, though the Bible only mentions four people by name at the point of Genesis 4, the full genealogy of Adam is provided in chapter 5. The fact that chapter 5 follows chapter 4 sequentially in the Bible doesn't mean that many of the people listed in Genesis 5 weren't already alive during the events of chapter 4. The genealogy chapters of Genesis, including chapter 5, span very long periods of time, including the events described in other chapters of Genesis before or after their order in Scripture. So, therefore, we know from Scripture that in the early years and after the fall, Adam and Eve raised a family of many children who grew to adulthood and joined together in marriage relationships to establish the next generation. By the time Cain killed Abel, there were numerous siblings living with extended families. Later, Cain married one of his sisters in 4:17, as did the rest of his siblings in 5:1-5. So no answer to this question will be complete, however, unless we address the natural concern we have in hearing that God expected brothers to marry sisters. First, we must understand that it's clear from the circumstances described in Genesis that God intended for Adam's siblings to marry and reproduce, In fact, Adam and woman themselves were blood relatives. From Genesis 2:21-22. Don't forget that Eve was made from Adam's rib. So even the first marriage united two people who shared the same DNA. Even as the late Abraham and Isaac, the custom of marrying within one's family was still an acceptable practice in Genesis 24:4. So later in the law, God specifically outlawed sexual union between blood relatives in Leviticus 18. Likewise, today it is illegal in most, if not all, cultures for siblings to marry and produce children. Such unions are considered dangerous since the children are at a much higher risk of suffering from genetic diseases, and most incest laws are justified on the basis of health concerns. So why would God consider marriage between siblings to be acceptable in Adam's day, but later outlaw such relationships? The answer is found in the curse placed on the earth because of Adam's sin. God's instruction to Adam and woman were given while both lived in the garden. And before they had fallen into a state of sin at that time, Adam existed as if he'd been created. He was perfect. His body contained no defects. In this perfect state, there would be no stigma, nor health concerns over siblings' marriages, since every human would reproduce in perfection. It was simply the natural course established by God. So at the point of the fall, however, God altered the state of his condition. In response to Adam's sin, God produced a curse on the earth and all that came from the earth, Genesis 3:17-19. This curse directed that everything on earth that had life by necessity die a physical death and return to dust. So the death of living things was to take place through a process of decay, a slow and steady deterioration of God's perfect design, culminating in the whole earth and everything in it, wearing out basically, and ultimately being replaced. Isaiah 51:6, Psalm 102:25-26, Hebrews 1:10-12. Our bodies will be replaced at the resurrection, and the world itself is replaced with the coming of the new heavens and earth. The effects of this curse have become evident in stages. Early generations of men showed little evidence of the curse, and in fact, they continued to live very long natural lives, probably because the genetic defects that God ordained to produce the disease and physical frailty leading to death were far less prevalent in those early generations. So nevertheless, Adam's descendants all die eventually, as the curse required from Romans 5:14. And over time, the defects in human DNA multiplied generation over generation until disease and other physical frailties caused a decreasing lifespan. So by the time Israel left Egypt during the Exodus, the population of men and women in Israel was plentiful, eliminating the necessity for brothers to marry sisters. Furthermore, genetic defects in the population had accumulated to the point that the health risk of marrying family members were too great to permit the practice any longer, so God outlawed it. So to put a little finer light on what we talk about those gaps of time, how old was Abel when Cain killed him? Scripture doesn't specify Cain or Abel's age at the time of the murder, but we do have clues in Scripture indicating they were both quite old. The textual evidence, in fact, seems to indicate that they were well into their hundreds. It's like, come again, what? That sounds outlandish, but consider the following. You hear the name Seth. Seth was not the third child. Reading Genesis 4 alone, you may be tempted to think Cain, Abel, and Seth were born in succession since they're the only children mentioned in the account. On closer examination, however, this is not likely. While it is likely Cain and Abel were the first two sons of Adam, Seth could not have been the third. In the narrative, we learn Seth was born after Abel's death, and that he was a special replacement for Abel. Genesis 4:25 says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, who Cain killed." So we also know Cain and Abel were of working age at the time of the murder. Cain was a farmer, and Abel was a rancher, respectively. Again, Genesis 4:2, "Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." At minimum, just based on this chapter alone, Abel would have been a generation apart from Seth. If Seth were the third child, one would have to ask why Adam and Eve abstained for so long. We're talking a minimum of 12 to 18 years before having more children, especially given the commandment to be fruitful and multiply from Genesis 1:28. Now, with that being said, the evidence goes way beyond this. Seth was born when Adam was 130 years old. In Genesis chapter 5, we have a genealogical record which reveals Adam was 130 years old when he fathered Seth. From Genesis 5:3, it says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth." But remember, Cain feared retribution from his relatives. When God confronted Cain about his brother's death, he denied knowing about it. "I am my brother's keeper" was a sarcastic rejoinder based on Abel's profession of keeping flocks from Genesis 4:9. But when God cursed him and informed him of his fate, he changed his tune. Cain feared for his life. From Genesis 4:13, it says, "And Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me.'" So who was Cain talking about? Obviously, there were more men in existence at the time who could do him harm. He was not alone with his two parents, and he certainly wasn't worried about future yet-to-be-born siblings who would come around some 20 years later. The simplest explanation is that he was afraid of his own adult brothers and their adult descendants. In Genesis 5 genealogy, we're also told that Adam had many sons and daughters. Genesis 5:4 says, "After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." All of these accounts lead to the time of Noah. There were 1,656 years and 10 generations. And throughout these 10 generations, the Lord saw that wickedness of man was great on the earth. So everybody knows the story of Noah. So he sent the floodwaters as judgment, a block in the way of humanity's wickedness that rose out of the grief of his heart from Genesis 6, 5 and 6. Genesis describes the flood and the recreation of the world. The earth sinks back into the chaotic waters, and God cleared the way on page 1 of the Bible from Genesis 1, 6 through 10. In the ark, God carries Noah's family through the flood, unharmed, to start a fresh world. Return to innocence. It is a new beginning and a chance to have a different end. So, what I'm going to leave you with here is this gives you something else to think about. Adam and Eve, yes, it started the world. But the population of this world would be much greater if it hadn't been for the judgment that God passed. When he saw all of the wickedness that was going on in those first 10 generations, direct descendants of Adam, he had to put a stop to it. Noah, his wife, their three sons, their wives, and two by two, every animal repopulated Earth once again. So that leaves you to think, yes, everyone is a descendant of Adam, but more so, everyone is also a descendant of Noah. Because this cycle started all over again. But you got to remember that the time that it spoke of in Exodus was after the Great Flood. So that really gives you a lot to think about. And does that help kind of answer your questions that you had about the how the world was populated?
Yes and no.
Why no?
Well, because then I have other questions. Then I'm wondering how people became of different races.
It's not that people became of different races, because we know that based on where, as we said before, that we don't know what race, per se, Adam and Eve were, but we do know that based on Jerusalem and Israel and that area being the holy city, that they were probably darker complected. And it's not that basically when all of the people move into different areas of the world, there are things in those areas that end up changing the makeup of a person. Because over time, the area that you're in, the food that you eat, the conditions of the environment that you are in are going to change subtly the way that, people act and interact in the areas that they're in. Does that make sense?
Yes and no.
Well, genetically, your disposition's going to change based on your environment
over time. That's over a long time.
Yeah, but we're talking about over 6,000 years. You got to remember there the existence of time, you know, between the time of Adam and Noah, when you consider 1,600 years, and then the time you consider between that and the time that Jesus was born was an exponential amount of time. So we're talking thousands of years. Even though when you think about the time, you know, BC and AD, I mean, we're in the 2022 year AD after. So basically, a little less time than we're talking about now than was the time of the time and space between Adam and Eve and even Noah. You're not even talking about that great many of years. Maybe 600-700 years. So over time, a lot of things change. But that can be something that we can dig into, because, you know, when God commanded to be fruitful and multiply the earth, you know, later on in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, it talks about every nation, every tribe, and every derivative thereof, every person, everywhere, every class, every subset, every race, all of it was changed over thousands of years. So I knew you would have more intriguing thoughts on this.
Yeah, well.
You're like a National Enquirer. I want to know. But hopefully, you know, for some people, they may have never even heard the story. And it's very true. A lot of people only hear about Cain and Abel.
Yeah,
and exactly. Then they hear about Seth after the death. But people don't realize there were other children in play that just weren't mentioned. And there had to have been other grown children in play, or he never would have made the comment that people would hunt him down and kill him.
Oh, yeah, I was kind of wondering who that might be.
That would be older siblings. And then siblings of, you know, we don't know. We don't know outside of that who married who. We don't know all of them by name. There's not a mention of a record of that, but there's a mention of number. And I mean, the Bible does not come out and say how many children he had. There are some Bibles, and there are some Jewish Bibles that actually try to put a number on it. But from any translation of Bible, it, like King James Version through New Standard through NIV, none of those have an actual number attached to it. So it's just one of these intriguing thoughts to get you involved in questioning and wanting to know the knowledge and starting to dig in and find it. And where do you find that knowledge? What book is it?
The Bible.
That's right. Which, you know, every show we talk about it. And the most important thing that you need to realize, if you haven't taken the step, if you haven't asked for your salvation, if you haven't prayed to God for your salvation, if you haven't taken that step in your life, how vital it is and how crucial it is, especially given the times that we're living in. Nothing is guaranteed, but there is a peace that you can find, and there is knowing that you can learn about and start to live in your life knowing that there's a Savior, knowing that Jesus died for you, knowing that he rose again to save you. And you don't have to have a preacher do it for you. You don't have to be in a room full of people. Just admit you're a sinner and be willing to turn from that sin. And again, believe that Jesus died for you. He was buried and rose again to pay the price for that. And just pray to invite Jesus into your heart. You can say this prayer out loud wherever you are. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, get yourself a Bible. Start digging in. Start learning. Don't jump to the end. Start at the beginning. You need to understand the beginning to understand the end. But get yourself involved in a good Bible-based church. Church that really teaches and preaches from the Word. Get involved in a small group. Start talking with like-minded people. Start learning how to pray. Pray for everything that's going on around you. Bible commands, we pray for our government. We may not agree with everything that's going on, but pray for the Lord to shine his light in all the dark places and to help people build better relationships with him. Pray for everything that's going on around, all the people in need. Still got people down in Florida, you know, in dealing with, you know, major disaster from the storms from a couple weeks ago, even here in the state of South Carolina, North Carolina, all up and down the coast, people, you know, felt the strain and the danger of that storm. You got anything else over there tonight?
Not anymore.
Oh, does that mean that you did have something?
No. I have no final thoughts.
Oh, you're over there being silly tonight. So, but we appreciate everybody joining us this week. Sorry we had to do it a night early, but we like I say, we had plans tomorrow night we've got to take care of. So,
and we didn't want to leave you hanging.
Did not want to leave it. We enjoy doing the show. We appreciate you guys joining us. Hey, don't forget our website, ChristianPolitiTalk.com. I'm going to leave you with a commercial here that's going to tell you how to reach out to us. Let us know if you got any prayer requests or ideas of something that you want to hear on the show. We'll be glad to entertain that.
Definitely, because I can't keep coming up with all these excellent topics.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just kidding. Ooh,
wow. Yeah, just reached a different level here in the studio. Ooh, somebody's full of herself tonight. But we like to have fun. We appreciate you guys joining us. I mean, heck, we just went through our anniversary.
Oh, yes, we did.
And so we love to have a good time. We appreciate you guys joining us. And we'll see you right here next week.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. Also, don't forget our website, ChristianPolitiTalk.com. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a blessed week.
Again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Tear I've cried, you hold in your
can't find you. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through. Praise the God who gives and takes away.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.